This is a Pinball News production.
Pinball, playing pinball. I used to go out on weekends and play at locations and travel to tournaments and compete with other people. In competing and traveling at events like EPC, everything, I would be able to meet industry people, and then I just bugged them until they gave me a job. And I took my hobby and my work and turned it into my dream job. I've been doing it for 22 years and still really enjoy it. This is a little picture. That's okay. I can make fun of myself. That's part of it. When you work in pinball, you have to be able to understand that you're a human being, you make mistakes, and that you never do things perfectly or always be willing to go back and fix your mistakes. Anyway, this picture, the reason I have this picture here, if it weren't for the guy who's right here, this is my friend Dallas Overturf. In 1980, he won a national championship in the United States. It was a tournament in Connecticut. He won $6,500, and if it weren't for him, because the location I played at, Dallas, was wondering who this person LFS was who put up a bunch of scores on a bunch of games, and he talked to the people at the location and waited until I was there, and they called him to have him come down, and that's how we met. And then he started bugging me to come to tournaments like Pinball Expo. This guy here, this is actually at IFPA in 1992. That's Larry DeMar in front of Adam's family. That was the first time I met him. And actually, if it weren't for Larry, I don't think I would have worked at Valley Williams. Larry's a programmer. He was kind of like my idol coming up as a programmer in pinball because I played a lot of his games, all the way back to High Speed, which was the first game I played, and obviously Adam's Family, Funhouse. I only hope to do games as good as Larry at some point. This picture, I had to put this one in too. That's Rick Stenna and Dave Heggie when I came out to Chicago. when I came out to Chicago, Dave actually helped me out. He let me stay with him at his house while I looked for an apartment. And so Dave's been a good friend. He still plays competitively. So I just want to say what we're kind of responsible for. We're actually, the main thing we're responsible for is making the game fun. It's kind of a hard thing to try to quantify, because most software people, they have pretty specific requirements that are detailed out, and ours are just kind of, I don't know, the people we work for and we make games for, they kind of trust us to make sure that we make something fun. So some of the other things that we do, when you work on a game, the worst thing that you can do is either cause it to kill someone or catch on fire or whatever. So as a programmer, you always have to be aware of these things. Some of the other things, though. But also, the other important thing, besides that the game be fun, equally as important is that it works out on location. A lot of times, you have a very fun game and a ramp switch will be out or some other thing will not work, and people may not play the game. I try and fix all my bugs in my games. If somebody tells me, like at a tournament or anywhere, like, hey, you have this bug in your game. Anybody have any bugs? No? Okay. Talk about it later. Obviously, the other things we do, we work with the DOT people to create content for the game, DOT matrix, sounds. We work with sound engineers. We work with mechanical engineers on mechanical designs, write device drivers. I take an active part in making sure that the game rules are somewhat interesting and balanced. Again, maybe that's not such a good thing because We have casual players and collectors, enthusiasts. I'm probably on the collector enthusiast end, so I maybe skew a little bit more towards trying to cater to those people. They're both important, but I guess that's probably the most enjoyment I get out of working on games. So also we write test fixture code, and then again, work with sound engineers. And the last one, you know, like guys like Steve Ritchie, they'll come into your office and after exercising and drinking Red Bulls and tell you about 20 things about what it's like.
Anyway, so we have to deal with that too. I just wanted to kind of run through, like, when I started at Data East, I just wanted to kind of run through. I worked on Tommy at Data East. I worked on Display Code on wrestling, WWF. I worked on Display Code on Guns N' Roses. I worked on some game rules and some Display Code. And on Maverick, I worked on some Display Code. So we also, I'm kind of trivializing it a little bit because we actually work with... we work as a team, and the best games are done by teams of people who work hard and are talented and cooperate, trying to achieve, you know, just something that's fun.
It's like a microphone. It's not working anymore.
Oh, okay.
You can touch this.
So anyway, when I was at Data East, I guess I can talk just loud. I wanted to be more challenged with software, and I wanted to work on game rules. And also the environment was a little hectic and chaotic. Programmers that kind of like things quiet so they can think and everything else, and it was just a little that. And I really wanted to work for Bally Williams. This is me at the time. I wanted to do a little bit more with games. So when I started at Williams, because again, I had to bug Larry some more, the first time I interviewed at Williams, they said, no, we don't think you can handle this. And then, so I went to work for Data East. And then I worked for Data East, and we work like pretty long hours, you know, we'll work 12 hours a day, 14 hours a day, 5-6 days a week, sometimes more. And then once you have a body of work or whatever else, then they kind of understand, like, well, okay, you can do this, and yeah, okay, so anyway, at Williams, they still sort of thought, well, he's kind of new, whatever else, and they start you off kind of slow, so anybody who has a demo man with the swear-ons, I ended up doing that, so you like torture people with it or what. And then I wrote some test fixture code for Theater of Magic, and the first project I worked on was display lab effects on No Fear with Steve, which is my first introduction to Steve. And then usually after about a 6-month period at Williams, they put you on a game where you're responsible for it, and you either sink or swim. So. Yep, so
my first project at Williams with Steve Ritchie, and I had never met him before. He was actually one of my idols, too. He's a big motorcycle fan. This was at the Acme show in 1995, he is, today, is probably one of my best friends. I don't make tons of friends with the people I work with, but Steve, he's just a good guy. I mean, we have worked on projects and we get angry and mad at each other about what we want in the game or what is good and what isn't good. He's a good guy and he helped me a lot. He helped me learn a lot throughout my career. That's Steve on stage. He's up here. So he always has a lot of energy, even as old as he is. I should say as old as he is, but he's 65 years old and he's still working on games. And again, it's pretty demanding. People, it is fun, but it's also a lot of work. And this is the team I worked with, I guess. I was just a display programmer, but that's Mac Boreal. It looks like maybe Pete Petrowski, Steve, and that's Greg. So I had to throw in a picture of Greg. Anyway, I guess I want to talk with, after that, Larry wanted to put me with Brian Eddy on Tactical Mars. And we were two kind of new guys doing what we were doing. Brian, as a designer, designed Shadow, and for me, I hadn't really programmed a game before, and it was actually one of the best experiences I've had working on a pinball game, just because we were kind of young guys who didn't really I mean, we wanted to try to prove ourselves, but we didn't really have anything to outprove. We just wanted to do something a little new and different. But also for me, I guess, we were both a little tired with the mode games. I know, like around Adam's family time, every game from every manufacturer for about 2 years or 3 years or so, modes. And so we were just kind of like, well, we're tired of this, so we do something a little different. We just kind of went back to basics, and the playfield is, it's a pretty simple playfield. I guess this game is a great example of, I guess, the old saying that less is more, because we had less on the playfield, but we concentrated more on quality than quantity. And so we also wanted to make sure that we had a lot of humor in the game, because, I don't know, everybody likes to laugh. If you look at all the popular shows on TV or some of the things that people, you know, really respond to, like laughter, people love to laugh. But Brian, it was hard for Brian too, because he on Shadow, and this is, I guess, just the perspective of people. Mike Boone was a programmer on Shadow, and Brian was the designer, but Brian also did programming. So I asked Brian, it's like, well, okay, you work with Mike, and how much, you know, Brian was like, well, I did 70% of the code on Shadow. And then I asked Mike, and Mike's like, well, I did 70% of the code on Shadow. You know, so I was like, okay, I think we'll do it. Yeah, and I was trying to understand exactly what, you know, working with Brian was by asking Mike and that. And early on, I just wanted to make sure I felt it was, I mean, I love Shadow. Shadow's one of my favorite games. It's a pretty, very well-balanced game. The theme maybe isn't super great, I guess, for most people, but for me personally, I wanted to do the code, and I also wanted Brian maybe a little bit to concentrate more on the game design and not be so much of a programmer. But it was hard for him to let go. He did the video mode in Attack from Mars, but I mean, we just had a lot of fun working on the game, and it was one of the rare games where we kind of knew exactly what we wanted to do from the beginning. The rules didn't really change all that much in the very beginning. And some of the things that, just collaborating with Brian would have an idea about, okay, well, if you get all the lights, we're going to do Total Annihilation, and I don't know what it is, but it's got to be cool. And then he would just sort of leave it up to me to try to, you know, fill in the blanks to make it exciting and that. So it was a lot of fun to work on that game. And then the original design had a moving saucer that came out on the playfield and moved around. And it had we couldn't afford it, and it wasn't reliable. The other thing too, the Martians, the rubber Martians were, they kind of jumped up and down now, but originally they were those little like kind of string toys that where you push the bottom of it and there's like little strings and they kind of fall down. But we couldn't get that to work either. It was about, from the software end, it was about 7 months from the time I got the whitewood to the time that the game went into production, and the breakdown of, you know, what the work was, you know, a couple of weeks on device drivers and a couple months on rules, and most of it is display effects and light shows and doing choreography, I guess what we call choreography. And then we actually had a little time at the end to do some fun stuff, like Brian put in the video mode, and we did like the sneak attack mode, and put in things like, you know, when you shoot the hole, and he says, miss me, ha-ha, and that other stuff. Anyway, this is Attack from Mars. That's actually me at the Acme show, I'm sorry, and you can see the games in the back. I'd like to buy 4 of them. And then that's my mom and my dad. They came to the show. It's sad for me because I lost my mom last year, and they're both gone. But they always supported me in everything I did. I don't think they ever understood what I did. I try to tell them, but I still don't think they understand what game designers do and what they make. And when I was younger, they always felt like it was a waste of my time. So,
When we did Medieval Madness, I just move on a little bit. I guess that's the folly of man, or whatever you want to call it. We always try to outdo each other, or we always try to improve upon what we do, and that's kind of what Medieval Madness was. Medieval Madness was a little different. When I got to Williams, Brian had already designed the tech for Mars, but Medieval, we hadn't even decided on a theme before we started working on the game. So we all sat around a table. Greg was there too, and just try to decide, like, what do we want to work on? It's part of the buy-in, I guess, you get on those projects where if everybody's really interested in what it is they're going to work on, they're going to probably do the best job on that rather than work on something they don't want to work on. So we were all involved from the start, and we also didn't know what to call it. It was called Castle Game for the longest time. And then it's also, for me, I know, for me also, the best learning example of the thing I learned the most about this is that we really had the best team. And as far as pinball goes, if you really want a great game, you have to have a great team, and every single person does a great job. So, Monster Bash, Brian, his passion was video games, and so after a while, he left Williams to go to work for Midway on video games. He actually was pretty successful doing that. And then Larry paired me up with George Gomez, and he was like, I want you guys to work together. So we had some debates about the theme. I mean, originally, I think George wanted to do like a monster truck theme or a spy theme or a guy theme. And I wanted to do another game, kind of like Attack from Mars and Medieval, like a generic monsters, kind of goofy, based on old horror movies. But also at the same time, with the game rules, it's like, just like how we were kind of bored with mode games. It's like, I know Monster Bash is a little similar to the first two games, but I try to make the rules a little different just so it's not the same, because like people get bored of things after a while. You give them the same thing and the same thing. I mean, maybe not beer or I don't know what. So we try to make things a little different. And also, I didn't want the game to be takes a long to get to the end. It's more of a casual player type game. And a lot of people, the thing I learned is a lot of people didn't really like that so much. They felt like Monster Bash was a little shallow on the better players. So I guess that's why later I ended up maybe going in the other direction. With that. And also I wish I didn't spend so much time working on Phantom Player. Because the average player, when they see it, they want it to work all the time. And when it doesn't, they get mad. So don't do it again. And also it was a time after we had rebuilt the pinball department after some layoffs, because pinball was kind of on the decline. And the last Williams game, I guess, we worked on was Revenge for Mars. And people kind of know this story already. It's just some new technology. It was kind of Williams' last sort of ditch effort to get pinball to be a viable business for them. And then for us, I think we needed a little bit more time to work with the platform. Some of the things we did in Revenge from Mars, if we had to do over again, I think maybe we would have done a little bit differently. So, I guess we focused too much on like kind of a video game design for the game. The game was slightly linear, so if you have, I pick these modes, and then I go here, and it had kind of a linear feel to it. And then the other thing, too, is I felt we spent too much time putting little interactive images on the playfield. I think we could have done something more interesting if we used maybe the video to enhance the mechanics on the game. I give an example, like if Theater of Magic were
a Pinball 2000 game, then maybe when the trumps started to turn, you could do some animation on it, you know, to make it like look a little bit more interesting, like some smoke or some fire or something like that. We started to work in that direction, but we just weren't ever, we just never made it. And then
when Williams closed, I don't know, it was a sad day for me because I couldn't buy $2,000 new in-box games anymore. I think that's part of the reason why Williams maybe closed, is because they would build a game and maybe overproduce it a little bit. And then, they'd sell them and nobody could make any money off of them. And then all the collectors would happen because, you know, they get games for cheap, but I think there's a lot of reason why Williams isn't making pinballs anymore. And then I spent 3 years working on video games and other technology, and I guess it took me 3 years to realize that I really wanted to work on games and the creative aspects of working on games rather than just being a programmer, a technical programmer. So, and then I started bugging Stern about a job because they were the only pinball company left at that time. And they didn't have an opening for a game programmer, so they asked me to work on the SAM operating system, which is basically, we retired that operating system last year, I guess, starting with Wrestling and KISS. All the newer games are using the new hardware set and new software. So. Really the only difference with that system, we developed the code a little differently. All of the games from Valley Williams time and even Data East time, all of the code was written in assembly language. So it's very tedious to write code. Of course we have libraries and other functions that we have that makes things easier, but the big change for us when we did the SAM system was to write all the code in a higher level language, which makes it a lot easier to get the code done a little faster. The other thing we did was we added a lot more space for sounds and dots, and I think that's really when our game started to get have more features in them. If you guys have questions as I go, ask, I guess. I actually am going to, I want to try and skip over a couple of things. I'm gonna fast forward to AC/DC.
So,
interesting.
Yeah. I'll talk about that. There's some things I think I wrote that I don't that we go by too fast. Sopranos was the first game on the SAM system that we worked on. Dwight Sullivan, who's now from Rubber at Stern, who did the code for Game of Thrones, hopefully people have played. And somebody's trying to get me started early. Thanks. I worked on the code on Sopranos on the SAM system, and Dwight worked on it on the White Star system, Spider-Man was the first game that I worked on with Steve again, and tried to work on by myself. Some of the other games I worked on, Batman, and then there's a whole bunch of them that Lonnie and I worked on from, I guess, around the time of Batman and all through up to about Iron Man, where in that little period where we were, pretty much everybody was having problems with recession and everything, we were making games so fast. I wanted to do, something a little bit more involved and everything.
when Stern hired Steve Beck, we got to work on AC/DC, which for me was a nice opportunity to try something a little different because it's not a story-based game. You can have a little bit more freedom with a music title. It's not, you don't have to follow a story so much. I mean, the story is pretty basic. You can either make the story about the songs and what they have, or you can make it just about the general rock and roll kind of story. I guess as far as the design of this, for me, kind of like back to the mode games, the last kind of run of games, maybe from about, Big Buck Hunter, Rolling Stones, Iron Man Avatar, a lot of those games were very similar to me in the rules. And then so I'm always trying to figure something else out where the rules could be a little different. And one of the things I liked about the structure of the music in AC/DC was that about 2 minutes or so or 3 minutes into the song, it gets like you get a guitar solo and it gets really exciting. And at least with the rules on the game, I wanted the rules in that game to kind of match the structure of the song, and that's kind of how that all came to being. And then I talked about Metallica a little bit. Metallica, I was supposed to work with Steve on Star Trek, and then was asked to help with Metallica, and John Bork, who's the designer of Metallica, he wanted to have little modes in the game with songs, as opposed to AC/DC, where you pick a song and you play that song throughout the ball in the game. It lended itself, people say about Metallica, it's a little longer playing game, it's a little longer to get into the features of the game. It's kind of the function of what happened with the way John wanted the songs to be. The songs are longer songs, some of them are 6-7 minutes long. The way he wanted the songs represented in the game, it just made the rules kind of a little longer, a little longer to get to. And I know a lot of people, and this happens a lot. A lot of people think, just do what you did before it was successful, and then keep doing that until people don't like it anymore. But I always like to try to think of something else to keep it fresh and to keep it. I can kind of stop there if anybody has any questions.
It seems like the perception people have is that a lot of the Stern games, the rules and the software is done by somebody else, another team. And then you come in at the end and give it all the polish and enhance what they've done to make it into a more finished package. Is that true or is that not the case?
Sometimes. I know that... every game I work on, I feel kind of personally responsible for. So if I sign up to work on a game, I buy the game, I put it in my house, and I play it. Because I think if your job is to work on games, then you probably need to play it 1,000 times or 2,000 times or whatever, because somebody else is going to do that. And they're going to notice all of the bugs in the game, or they're going to notice the scoring imbalances or whatever else. So I would say to some extent, I'd say to a lesser extent today, because we're getting better as a company about trying to get games out the door a little nicer and a little more complete, not leaving things unfinished. But for me, yes. I would say yes, because I always want to make sure that the game is up to my standards, or something that I enjoy.
That's a responsibility for you to do that.
It's a responsibility, I think, for everybody. Yeah, so I take it personally, but
how many games do you own?
We lost count. I think it was maybe around 4 years. Yeah, but we have people come over to the house and play Pinball League, we host 1 month of our league. I still enjoy playing all the games. And sometimes I see things I'd like to change, or sometimes see bugs I'd like to fix. Still here. So yeah.
What do you think is the secret about Stern that they can now make a new model, like two or three new games per year, and actually deliver those? What's the secret behind?
It's pretty hard to actually do all of that, because if you look at a game like Attack from Mars, I worked on it on my own, about 7 months from start to finish to get the game done. There were a couple other versions, because I work on the game and I still fix bugs even back then. It's a lot harder now because we have three models. We really actually have, it's not really two code bases, it's like a code base and a half for the game, or maybe it's another 25% or another 30% for the LE games to support that. And we just, every single game, people want more and more and more out of the games. They want more sounds, they want more dots, they want more in the game. So I still think you can do, I guess, Iron Man. We're still making Iron Man. Iron Man has actually turned into one of my favorite games, because I can just walk up to it and play a game for 5 or 10 minutes and feel a good sense of accomplishment. It's a very simple game. There's not a lot on it, but for me, it's about how you feel when you play the game, not about how much stuff is on it, I guess, or how many rules are in it. So that's why I like there to be variety. So Iron Man is very different from AC/DC, very different from Tron, Metallica, Walking Dead. They're all different. So I hope the next one is different, but also good.
But you can still make like 3 models a year, which is quite astonishing.
Yeah, it's pretty demanding, but we have a pretty good team of people at this point. We have a lot of software people now, because around the time of Iron Man, to put it into perspective, Lonnie Robb and I worked on Iron Man. We did the code in about 3 months from start to finish, and it was reasonably done. I think it was reasonably done when the game went into production. We're still making the game today. So I mean, not every game, I guess, has to be the kitchen sink. It's nice when there's more variety, and I don't know. It's a pretty good variety of games at this point. So
you said that you
were
unhappy with some of the aspects of Attack from Mars.
I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, I think so. I think Medieval, if you look at the playfield, it's very similar to Attack from Mars. And then when Brian was working on it, he was consciously making decisions about, we always used to joke about the stroke of luck hole, like we'll kick the ball down the middle. And then it's like, okay, we're not doing that. So he kicked it out to the side. And it was just a little slower game. And we try to, I say, fix our mistakes, but improve on what we did before and try not to make some of those mistakes again. We make new ones, but I guess that's what I was trying to say.
Tell them about your dedication to Dead, Walking Dead.
Oh, okay. I'll say this about Walking Dead. People want to know about Walking Dead. So this is... I try to be professional in what I do as a software developer, and what I did with Walking Dead, unfortunately, I did something... I try to be a professional, but I ended up doing it in a very unprofessional way. I wanted the game to be, I want it to be the game, everybody wants every game to be the best game ever, and Walking Dead is one of those games that, that's one of my themes that I really enjoy. I love the old George Romero films and zombie everything. We had some challenges, my boss George was nice enough to let me spend pretty much like the last 4 months on the game full time to work on it, to finish it, to get it almost done. I actually really appreciate that, because I guess for me, in all of the software work that I've done, I get the most enjoyment out of working on games. Technology is fun too, in small doses, but I enjoy making the game, so I appreciate that he gave me the time, the full time to do that. So.
And the results speak for themselves.
They do.
You did a fantastic job.
Last question for Frank. Because we have to go Frank.
French or English?
English, of course.
I'll try
English, of course, yeah, we can do that. Lyman, can you tell the game that you're working on now?
No.
Actually, I'm working on some system code right now, but as far as games go, Walking Dead. There's been some more work that's been done on it. It's not quite ready yet, but it's a little more polished than can go into the game. And it's minor stuff, I guess, at this point. I always try to support my old games. That I call them my games. They are my games. They're Gary's games.
Your games.
So, but we put a lot of time and effort into them. And again, I feel personally responsible for them. So. But I'm willing to work on anything as long as I get some time to do it. That's all. We have a lot of things that we have software-wise to get done, but I'm always willing to do extra.
Thank you.
So.